This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. I'm going to be talking to Josh Brewer, the CEO and evangelist at LifeLight. With Easter coming up, weather this weekend and that, but I think this is the time to bring LifeLight in a little bit and talk about all the things you've done. You've had kind of a release here not too long ago about all the events and stuff that are coming up. First of all, let's talk, though, about the last concert downtown in Sioux Falls. That was, what, about 25,000 people?
Yeah, just over 25,000 people. And the city was so great to work with, and they let us do it in downtown Sioux Falls, which was right along the lines of our mission of reaching people.
Now, I went by there, and it seemed like everybody was having a good time. It wasn't, you know, just parking and walking other things in that, but how is that going to change for next year, this year?
Yeah, so we went and had a meeting with the city after the festival, and they said, you know, there was nearly 30,000 people in that area, and they said it was 100 degrees out that day, but they said, what happens if next year it's 70 and sunny? And they said, you're going to double or triple those numbers. And so I asked the city, I said, well, help us with this thing then, because I don't want to leave downtown Sioux Falls. And the mayor, Ten Akin, said, well, we get why you want to be downtown. That's where all the synergy is. And I said, that's not why we want to be downtown. And he was kind of confused. And I said, we want to be downtown because that's where the homeless is. That's blocks from Pettigrew Heights and Whittier Middle School District. That's where people need to hear the message of Jesus. And that's also just where guys and people just want to go downtown to hang out and have a good time. And those are the people that we're trying to reach. You know, when you're 10, 12 miles south of town, it really limits a little bit of who's there. And so along with the city, they came up with a plan. They helped us come with a plan to be in Nelson Park this year, which is a lot bigger space than what we had last year, and room to grow again, and still downtown. And we're excited about it.
A little bit of different spelling of synergy downtown.
That's right.
Talking to Josh Brewer of LifeLight. Now, you've been with LifeLight, pretty much you married into it, but you've been with LifeLight for quite a while.
Yeah. I jokingly say that Alan Green gets to be my father-in-law. And so I'm married into the family. Started working at LifeLight back in January of 2008, and been there ever since. And took over the ministry in the beginning of 2017. So
now, what is Al doing now? He says retired, but I know better than that.
Oh yeah, he's not retired. I don't know if you can even call what he does semi-retired. He's busy. He's works with the LifeLight, works with the Luis Palau Association, works with the many other evangelists. But they have kind of a new mission, so to speak. Of course, the mission's always been the same at LifeLight. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they have a new avenue of which they want to be a part of that. And so this year, they're going to every county in the state of South Dakota. Their mission this year is to go to every county in the state of South Dakota and teach and proclaim the gospel and train people in evangelism. And so that's something we get real excited about.
Now, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is a pretty good place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we love it here.
if you listen to the news, and it's almost nowadays where you don't want to listen to the news, but all of this wokeness, and if you're a Christian, you're a white supremacist, and we don't have that problem quite so much, but are you starting to hear or see any of that in this area?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it says in Scripture, it says in the end time, people will be lawless, that, you know, people will disobey their parents, you know, and we're seeing all of those things come to be, you know, and it is a crazy, crazy time to be alive, to be honest, you know, from Adam and Eve to Abraham was about 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was about another 2,000 years. And from Jesus till now, it's been about 2,000 years. And so every 2,000 years, there's a huge biblical shift within the world. And we truly believe that we're on the cusp of seeing another major shift. And I don't know what that is. Could be the end times. Could be the beginning of what the Bible calls a thousand-year reign. We don't know what that is, but I truly believe, and we believe at LifeLight, that God is doing something. He's gearing up for another major shift. And they say by the year of 2033, for the first time in the history of the world, the Bible will finally be translated in every language on earth. And so I don't think that's all by coincidence. I don't think that we're seeing this lawlessness at the same time that we're seeing history come to be. I don't think it's by coincidence, and I think that God is doing something awesome, and LifeLight maybe gets to be a small part of that, along with many other great churches and ministries here in the great state of South Dakota.
Yeah, you can be in your kitchen and say, Alexa, translate this into 100 languages.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, well, of course, we've got AI coming. Yep. But the Catholic Church is supposedly being listened to by the FBI because of their abortion views as a possible extremist in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel sometimes that maybe people are watching you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I get God places little reminders within my life to remind me that, you know, people are watching. And it's not about me. It's not even as much about LifeLight, but it's about who we represent. And as Christians and as Christ followers, we represent Jesus. And God reminds me enough to tell me, you know, whether I'm in a restaurant or whatever and someone recognizes me and says, hey, you're the LifeLight guy. You know, used to be that was my father-in-law. And now it's kind of, now it's my wife and I. People recognize the family enough. And I don't really let that go to our head, but I use that as a reminder of reminding myself the world is watching us. And as Christ followers, the world watches us. The world sits back and sees. And hopefully they recognize, A, that we are Christ followers, and B, they recognize there's something different about us. And what's different about us is the love of Jesus Christ. So, absolutely. We feel watched all the time, and we remind ourselves that it's all part of God's purpose, all part of God's plan.
Islam is something we hear more and more about. We worry sometimes what's coming across the southern border. Mm-hmm. There's a difference, though, between Islam and Christianity as far as peaceful.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and people like to talk about what's going on in the Middle East as a territory battle, and maybe that's part of it, but it's really been a battle. I was just teaching my kids this morning. It's really been a battle for 4,000 years. It's been going on for 4,000 years, ever since, dating back to Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and their kids, you know, Isaac and Ishmael. And, of course, we know that Isaac gave birth to the Jewish community, which, of course, split off from that as the Christian community upon the arrival of Jesus. But then Ishmael and his descendants gave birth to Islam and to the Muslim people. And so this has really been a battle between two brothers and their descendants going all the way back to Abraham. And people don't really realize that what we're seeing unfold right before our very eyes in the Middle East is still according to Scripture, still according to God's plan. It's not as much a territory battle or a political battle as much as it is. It's been a biblical battle for 4,000 years, and it's all part of what God's doing even today.
Oh, still the same God of Abraham.
Yeah, absolutely.
On all of it.
Yeah.
What's going on in Israel right now? You've been to Israel, I imagine?
I have, yes.
Yeah. I was lucky to get a free trip over there from their journalistic, they bring people over there to show them that it's not what you read in the paper.
Yeah.
It's not what you see in the news.
Yep.
You know, it's totally different. Such an amazing place.
Yeah, and people don't really realize, two things with what's going on in Israel. You got the political side of things. And it's really kind of gone hand in hand with the biblical side of things, but you can't really explain it to someone that hasn't been there, but you can literally go there, you can walk the streets, you can literally put your hand and touch things that the Bible talks about, and knowing this place is real, this thing that happened is real, and it's just, it's amazing.
All of the Americans that were Jewish, that when the war started, and it is a war, up and left their businesses and immediately, you know, being in the army over there, first of all, it's male and female.
Yeah.
It's they have a cause. They have a reason for living. They have a purpose that I find amazing. Getting back, though, to Sioux Falls and the celebration, I just wanted to leave this part in a sense that Christianity, Judaism, they flourish when they're persecuted.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, whenever, if you trace throughout history, in biblical times and even current times, whenever there is extreme persecution, there is almost always to follow a revival that mm-hmm. takes place. And that is God's response to Satan of saying, you can come with your mission of to steal, kill, and destroy, but God is still God. And the salvation still belongs to Jesus. And we're seeing that. And God responds to Satan in those ways. And I got to imagine that that just really frustrates Satan, the fact that the Holy Trinity, you know, they never have an emergency meeting. They never get thrown off their game. Their plan never has to change. God is still the same yesterday and today. And we get to watch God's response to Satan on a daily basis.
There is evil. I think more people are starting to see that today. Mm-hmm. I worry about what my grandchildren, what their life's going to be. I feel like I had it pretty good. Mm-hmm. We lived through some of the best of times, some of the best music.
Yeah.
But getting back to, we're talking to Josh Brewer, CEO, evangelist of Lifelight here just before Easter. The Z8 is something you've been doing for a few years. Tell us how that's coming.
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, it's the true definition of a grassroots ministry. You know, the Z8 initiative, we started back in 2015 and it's kind of come and gone, but most recently the last few years has been led by some of our young staff, Dax and Maddie on staff at Lifelight. And it's a monthly worship gathering for young people. And probably what the most impressive thing with the whole thing is, it's student-led. Of course, my wife and I, we oversee it, but it's really student-led. All the work's being done by young people. And there really is no reason to come to these worship nights other than to worship Jesus and for prayer and teaching, because we're not bringing in any big names. It's not any big worship bands that are coming in. It's local young people leading other young people in worship and leading young people to the cross. And, you know, just last fall, they invited me to come to one of the events. And so I came and they said, you know, we want to do baptisms at this event. And it was outdoors and it was a little cold out that day. And I thought, there's going to be one baptism, you know, and that's about it. I said, people are going to find out it's cold. You know, there are 300 kids that showed up and over 90 kids were baptized that day. We were baptizing kids for over an hour. And it was just really a display of what God is doing in this young generation.
They say that people kind of, they work too much. They can't go to church on Wednesday night or Sunday. There's less people going to church, they say. But there's a hunger in this new generation. I think they were watching the Nickelodeon for Donna Reed and Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, because there's a hunger for that family that they feel is missing. The family is so broken up today.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, getting back to time is going by so fast. There's so much to talk about. The Up City Festival.
Now, UP City Fest?
Or, yeah. Yeah. Now, if people like to go out to the hills or whichever, you know, that's going to tell us about that.
Yeah. So we started a few years ago. We started with this mission of taking the festival that people know so well here in Sioux Falls and branching out to other communities around the nation. And we've been doing that, and God's been so gracious to us, and God's been glorified, and it's been incredible to see what God is doing. But this summer we're doing a festival. The first festival of the summer will be up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so we call that the UP City Fest. And so we're doing that in early July and then in late July, which is new, brand new this year. We're taking over the Hills Alive Festival, which to my knowledge is the oldest running Christian festival now in the nation. Started back in 1985. Well, this year will be the first year that Lifelight will be taking over that festival. And then, of course, we'll end the summer with the iconic festival here in Sioux Falls on Labor Day weekend. So we're kind of bookending the state of South Dakota, and along with Alan and Vicky's 66 county tour in the state of South Dakota, we believe that we can preach the gospel to 15%, at least 15% of the state of South Dakota. That's about 140,000 people in the state of South Dakota. Who knows what God's going to do, but man, I am anxiously awaiting to see what he does this summer.
Up City, on the East Coast, they say uptown.
Yeah.
But, and the Hills Alive. I mean, that's yes. A great time. You know, a lot of people used to go out there just for there used to be the Christ celebration enactment that they had out there for years and years, and that was a big thing. But coming back to Sioux Falls now on Labor Day, well, wait a minute, LifeLight is global.
Yes.
Now, and Al is pretty busy. I know he's been to Pakistan and a lot of dangerous places that most of us wouldn't want to go now. I mean, he did a lot in Mexico before it became too dangerous. What is the global LifeLight now?
You know, the global LifeLight is really not too much different. Of course, festivals may look different around the world, but it's not too different from what we do here in the States. We'll go wherever we get invited to go, and wherever there's a local body of believers who have a heart to reach their community for Jesus, our goal is that every community that LifeLight exists, that every person in that community will have a chance, at least a chance. We can't control people's response to the gospel, but we can put our heart into proclaiming the gospel and give every person in every community that LifeLight exists at least a chance to say yes to Jesus. And so the festivals may look a little bit different. You know, here we might have, you know, Newsboys or Skillet or whoever, you know, over there. The bands may be different, but the heart and the mission is still the same. And so we've got ongoing work in Pakistan, in Ivory Coast, in Cuba. We're working on a festival in Guatemala that'll be happening soon. And so, yeah, we'll go wherever God leads us and wherever we're invited.
In this day and age, there's still Christians being put to death, or slavery.
Yep.
It's still today. The more things change, sometimes the more they don't change, but that goes back to the Bible too. Mm-hmm. Josh Brewer, CEO evangelist. Now, LifeLight at the Nelson Field, the skateboard park there is going to go down along the riverfront. I'm sure.
Yep.
And Newsboys, I saw a video the other day where the drummer's on a big circular stage and it goes up in the air and it turns around. It's almost like a circus ride.
Yeah.
I mean, at the fair.
Pretty amazing to see.
He actually goes upside down with his drum set, I think.
I think so, too. You could do that, can't you, John?
Maybe a giant mirror ball.
You could bust out the old DJ table and do it upside down. You couldn't do that?
But what we've been talking about for the last 17 minutes is music.
Yeah.
And music and Christianity, church, has always gone hand in hand. It's like food, music, good people. What else can you ask for?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Jesus used, right? David danced for God. Most of Jesus' ministry while he walked this earth took place in people's homes over a meal. And it looks a little different now. We have a big stage, big festival, big bands, food trucks, but it's still action sports, music, food. We want to offer something to everybody.
You can't really put into words, though, what music does. To sing Hallelujah.
Yep.
How many different people have sang that in so many different ways?
The closest I've ever heard it described is the great Toby Mac, who's a big-time Christian musician, been around forever. He said one time, music takes words to a place in someone's heart where sometimes simple words cannot go. And so to us, it's always been about the music and the message, and those two things go hand in hand, and God works through music, and we just love sitting back and seeing how he operates.
It's spiritual. Like you say, there's certain things that can't be put in words, and there's something about harmony, and you know, there's the words can mean different things in different places, but it speaks to you. Now, tell us a little bit about what's on the drawing board then for Nelson Field.
So we are very excited to be in Nelson Park. It's bigger than what people think. You know, you include basically we're taking over the whole grounds, everything from Cliff Avenue all the way down to, I think it's Fairfax, right? The bridge that goes over the river towards downtown, or not the river, but the train tracks that are there. So it's a big place that we're taking over.
And
you know, you got the pool there, you got the skate park that they're building, this new, incredible new skate park. You got the McDonald's there. We've talked to the McDonald's owner, and he is super fired up about this thing. And, you know, I pray that he sells more Big Macs that day than he ever has before. And, you know, so it's a big space that people don't realize how big that space is, but they're going to have to come out and see it.
It's a natural hillside. It's a natural hillside. It's yeah. like a great place for like an amphitheater. And of course, you got the river, and the city's developing all that area down there in that sense. What are they going to do? Are they going to block off Cliff Avenue and 10th Street for a little while then?
Well, they're not going to block it off, but we're going to have a lot of people out there helping with traffic and helping direct traffic and helping people cross some of those busy streets. And we'll also be doing shuttles from different areas. And of course, there's lots of parking downtown, which is close by, that people can walk over from the area near 8th and Railroad, where we were last year.
And volunteers.
Yes.
People like to volunteer for Lifelight, don't
yeah.
they?
You know, it takes a small army of volunteers and people to pull something like this off. You know, we need people that can come and can help direct traffic, can help, you know, work security. We also need people that can come and pray over people. We need people that can come and help set up and tear down, clean up crew, people that sit at artist merch tables. You know, it takes a small army to pull off something like this. And we're thankful for every one of them who's been helping out for many, many years.
Almost like an army, what, 500, 600, 700 volunteers?
Yes. Back in the old days, we used to need, my mother-in-law used to always say, you know, we need 1,000 volunteers or 500 really good ones. And so it's really still the same. We need a lot of volunteers, and thankful that there's so many volunteers who've been helping out for so many years and kind of know the routine, know what has to happen. But yet we're always in need for new volunteers as well.
Well, I know that you're going to be releasing the bands and entertainment and other stuff coming up here, you know, in the next few months as we go along. But it's free. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's free because there's a lot of people in the community that give wholeheartedly, whether it's through sponsorships from businesses or even just individuals. You know, it's free for people to come. It's not free to put on. We do pay the bands, production costs, marketing. You know, there is a lot that goes into an event like this, but it's able to be free because we have so many incredible sponsors, people like First Premier, people like Wireless World, Adams Thermal Foundation. You know, we have so many incredible people that give towards this thing. Sue Steele's another one, and we're thankful for all the many people who make up those businesses that make it possible for them to give and support something like this.
You have the best of sound and light. You always do. I mean, you don't cut corners on that. It's I would say the sound stage that you put up, you have even, all kinds of things from drones to you name it. The sound system and stage you put up would make Woodstock look pretty ancient, I guess, is what I'm saying. You've got the
I'll
newest
take,
and best.
That's a big compliment.
You've got the newest and best of everything. Well, yeah. I know sound and I know lights. But what I'm saying is you put on a show that, like I say, you can bring your lawn chair and just sit there and absorb.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and the misconception is that, oh, it's free. It must not be as good of quality as something you pay high ticket prices for. But we know that the community of Sioux Falls is a great community and deserves our very best. And so we try to provide that in all aspects of what we do.
Well, the idea is to bring somebody with you, a friend or acquaintance, anybody, to just say, well, you know, come for the music, come for the food, come for the concert. And many of them find something else, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. You know, whatever gets people in there, you know, we always tell people, we just want you there, you know, so drive there, ride your bike there, fly to Sioux Falls, you know, whatever it takes, just get there. And people may come for the great food trucks, the great bands, the action sports, whatever people come for. Maybe it's just a nice day out and they just want to sit outside and enjoy some live music, you know, just get there. And we want to offer something to everybody. But also so that they know the heart of Jesus, that he loves you, he cares about you, he loves you so much, he sends others to love on you also, and that's what the world needs to hear.
I don't have the calendar in front of me, but what day of the week are we talking about?
So this will be a Sunday.
Labor Day weekend.
It'll be Sunday, September 1st, Labor Day weekend, which is what everybody traditionally knows and relates Lifelight to, is Labor Day weekend.
Now, you have church on Sunday morning because there's so many churches actually working down there.
Yeah. Go to church. Go to church Sunday morning and then come out and be a part of the great the great show with the Lifelight Festival, but we believe that the hope for the entire world is in and through the local church. And so my heart as an evangelist is to proclaim the gospel, whether it's a big festival like what we do or street evangelism or really any other means necessary, and then get people plugged into the local church. So our prayer is that people will go to church on that Sunday, and then people will invite their non-Christian friends out to the festival and then bring those people back to the church the following Sunday.
I think last year a lot of businesses opened on Sunday where they haven't before, but they just for that reason they opened on Sunday and had a benefit of all that. You know, people come from just not around Sioux Falls. I mean, people come from Illinois, they come from Texas, they come from Canada. They come, you know, in RVs, they come in buses. I suppose are you going to arrange for camping maybe at the fairgrounds or...
Well, we've thought about that, and maybe our heart is to make this continue to do this annually once again, like what we used to do, and work out some partnerships and some deals with some local campgrounds. That would be amazing.
Well, there's so many things in Sioux Falls to do. Yes. Of course, I remember last year I saw quite a few people at Walmart, and like I say, how do you put an economic impact on the city for that event?
You know, it's pretty hard to do. I have no idea how they do it. I only know that the city has told us in the past that it's about a $53 million impact on the community of Sioux Falls through the gas that's sold, the hotels, like you just mentioned, people visiting Walmart, people going to stores. And so we encourage businesses, especially in the downtown area, since that's where it's at now, to be open Sunday, even if you're not traditionally open Sunday, be open Sunday, because my prayer is that this, by us doing this event, you'll reap some of the reward also, and that we'll encourage people to go support the local businesses of Sioux Falls.
Time's almost up, but the Youth Center, I don't want to miss that.
Yeah, the Youth Center has been incredible. We're seeing God, that's a whole different area of ministry. You know, the festivals are much more like a sprint. You got one shot, one opportunity, one weekend. But the Youth Center is more of a marathon where we are walking with these students that come to the Lifelight Youth Center here in downtown Sioux Falls. We're walking with them through life, and they go through these difficult times, and we're able to be there for them. And God has grown that ministry as well.
Sioux Falls is changing. We just had a homicide shooting here last week. Downtown is important. At night, these kids need a place to go, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of them, some of them do, but a lot of them don't have parents at home. A lot of them are raised by maybe a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or an older brother or sister, and they're just doing everything they can to keep their head above water. And so what most of these kids need that we found out, even the most troubled kids, is they just need just one person who will love on them, who will encourage them, who will be there for them. And we have an incredible team in the Youth Center that is being that, exactly that, for these young kids.
To me, it's all about the children. How can people help? You got your office on Minnesota Avenue near 22nd in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's right between 22nd and 23rd Minnesota Avenue. It's 1412 South Minnesota Avenue. And we'd love for people to stop by. We love having guests come and pick up a t-shirt, come and meet some of the rest of the team. But we're always in need of help. We're always in need, first and foremost, of people that will pray for the ministry of Lifelight, people that will volunteer for the ministry of Lifelight, and people that will donate to the ministry of Lifelight, whether that be to the Youth Center or to Z8 or the festivals that we're doing. You know, we are in need of finances, and so I say that to say thank you to those who have given. And to those who have not given yet, would you prayerfully consider giving to Lifelight? And you can go on to lifelight.org to find out how to give, how to volunteer, and what to be praying for.
The Youth Center, what are the hours there? And where's it at?
The Youth Center is open every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night from 4 until 8 p.m. And so we feed kids while they're there. We do Bible studies with kids. We do worship nights. We try to proclaim the gospel to as many kids as possible.
That's the time about Easter to be thinking about so many things. Josh Brewer, CEO, evangelist, Lifelight. I want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.